You're listening to Red Nation Online.
You're listening to the North of 49 Soccer Podcast. Interviews, analysis, and discussion about Canadian soccer with hosts Chris Williams and Steve Watcher.
All right, here we are back with a Lucky 13 episode of the North 49 podcast. And it's an all-Canadian men's national team episode. Chris, how are you doing? And, you know, a busy weekend in Canadian soccer with the Hall of Fame inductions, the Canadian national team being in town, the United States national team being in town, and then, of course, the big game on Sunday. You know, how'd you enjoy taking everything all in?
Yeah, I think leading up to the game, there were some festivities, and it was great to see some figures in North American soccer from the U.S. side and definitely from the Canada side. So I'm happy about that. I'm happy that national soccer is about in Toronto. So it was great to see some key figures in Canadian soccer, and of course the game, which we're going to get to. So yeah, really excited about that.
Yeah, the game. I'm finding myself, you know, trying to keep myself on an even keel, considering it was a draw. And it was a friendly. It wasn't, you know, a World Cup qualifying match yet. That's, you know, to come on Friday. But I thought one of the more complete performances that I've seen in a long time from the Canadian national team. And it looked like, you know, one of those games where all the work and all the, you know, sort of work that both the players and Stephen Hart and his staff had been putting in over the last couple of years, you could kind of see everything coming together in a very logical and functional way. So, you know, to start off, I'd like to get your thoughts on the match. And also, I'm wondering if you think it's possible that the, you know, the Canadian team is hitting its stride, you know, and peaking at the right time, you know, with those qualifiers against Cuba and Honduras, you know, just around the corner.
Well, first off, you know, watching the match at the stadium, I thought that it was a great atmosphere. And I really think, you know, BMO Field suits the Canadian national team quite well. And again, probably like you, probably like every Canadian in the stands watching at home, really wanting Canada to do well. I felt a part of the team even. I just felt that, you know, wanting Canada to win, that's always the case. But obviously when you play against the U.S., there's a little bit more at stake. And no, it wasn't a qualifier, but it had that feel to it. It was a chance for the Canadians to really, I guess, you know, set a benchmark, set that standard. And Jurgen Klinsmann put out his best lineup, Steve. So it was good to see the U.S. approach the game in that manner. They didn't use, you know, players that they didn't feel the game out. They went for the win in terms of the lineup. So, again, I'll get back to BMO Field. I really believe that suits Canada with the back line that they have of David Edgar, Aino, McKenna, and Ante Jazic there. So, and you can see in the buildup of play, the U.S. disappointed me quite. You know, I felt that they didn't try and attack Canada in key areas, especially in the fullback areas. Jurgen Klinsmann, I don't know if it's his approach, his tactics, but he didn't do himself any favors with the players that he had at his disposal. And not to touch too much on the U.S. play, but I really feel that the U.S. let themselves down. Just as you know, Steve, with Clint Dempsey playing in the English Premiership there, I don't think they utilized him quite well. Or maybe it was a case of Canada getting their tactics right. But, you know, Dwayne De Rosario, again, I thought had a good game. You can see he is Canada's man at the moment. He played really well. And I think overall, Steve, the way that Canada played, they sat back a little bit and waited for the U.S. to come to them and try to hit them on the counterattack, which suited them well. And it was disappointing to see Atiba Hutchinson not in the lineup, but, you know, maybe he can come back in and fill that role, you know, that attacking role that Canada needs, that boost. But I thought the other players that filled in, Will Johnson and Nick Ledgerwood, they did quite well. So without going on too much of a tangent there, you know, I really, really am happy with Canada getting that result. I think it bodes well for them hitting their stride. I don't think they're there yet, but it definitely sets the standard, a benchmark for them going into their first qualifier in Cuba.
I have to get special props out there to Lars Hirschfeld. It wasn't the busiest game that he's probably ever played, but, you know, if there was a play of that game, I think it was his save in injury time. It would have been extremely, you know, hard on Canada for them to have played as well as they did and then, you know, come away with a 1-0 loss. So I saw that as the play of the game. And, You know, I think he did a fantastic job. It can't be easy to, you know, sort of not see much of the ball, and then suddenly, you know, you're peppered with something that's a very difficult save. What do you make of that save and Lars's performance?
Yeah, that was a key moment in the game where Lars made that save. I don't know if you took a deep breath, you know, and a gasp after he made that save, but that was a key save of the game. Definitely saved Canada from being defeated at home. So that was a fantastic save. I think Lars Hirschfeld is Canada's number one, and he showed it there with that key save. And it's amazing with just the crowd, watching the crowd and watching him save that. You know, I could only imagine when they get into the qualifying rounds, later stage of qualification, you know, just how much pressure is going to be on these players to do well and to carry Canadians and Canada, the entire country, on their back. So hopefully these players can take us there.
As you mentioned, the midfield trio of Julian de Guzman, Will Johnson, and Nick Ledgerwood, I thought were quite exceptional. And you know, all three had really really strong games. And you know, both Kevin McKenna and Stephen Hart made it a point at the post match press conference to highlight the work that they did, not only you know, linking up the play from the back line up to the attack, but also, you know, in the strong team defensive performance and how they shielded that back line. You know, as do you go with those guys going forward, you know, pending of course Atiba being healthy?
Yeah, I think so. I think that you know, looking at the US match, those three did well, and I would like to see them get forward in the attack, but it also depends on what type of tactics Stephen Hart employs. But Nick Ledgerwood, Will Johnson, you know, we have the privilege of watching Will Johnson here in the MLS in North America. Don't get to see too much of Nick Ledgerwood because he plays in Europe, but I felt that he did well. I mean, usually he plays as a right back, you know, recently for Canada, but I thought that he didn't look out of place, and Nick Ledgerwood definitely did a job. He filled that role, which maybe Atiba Hutchinson would have been in. But no, they did very well. They were in sync. I think a little bit, they're probably going to get better. You know, once Julian sits in front of that back four and there's some gaps, once he makes that push forward with the ball, maybe Will Johnson has a tendency of getting forward. So I think they're going to get in sync and get a rhythm that, you know, when there are gaps or holes in that center of midfield, that they'll fill in. But no, going forward, I think it bodes well for Canada. It gives Stephen Hart great options. So congrats to them for a good performance.
Yeah, I mean, Lars Hirschfeld, just based on the save that we already discussed, I think he was actually my man of the match. But a close second would have to be Nick Ledgerwood. I mean, forget big shoes. Those are gargantuan shoes to fill in Atiba Hutchinson, who unfortunately wasn't able to go on Sunday. And, you know, a very solid two-way game. And, you know, whether Atiba's fit for Cuba or Honduras or not, just the fact that we now know Nick can come in and deliver that type of quality performance, that says something about the depth of the team. And I think, you know, it just makes you feel more comfortable as a whole with the team going forward. Another interesting thing about that game was, you know, it shouldn't be interesting to say how well Julian de Guzman played. You know, he's 50-plus caps and, you know, has always looked great for Canada. I do think he was one of the best players on the pitch, and you know, his movement off the ball and his comfort with the ball at his feet, even with you know, the pressing of the United States players, was exceptional. It brings up, you know, what's almost becoming an age-old argument is you know, and Julian has played much better with TFC in the last run of games, but it does seem that we see a little bit of a different Julian de Guzman with Canada than we do with TFC. And I don't know if that's just the passion of playing with the national team, or if it's you know, the players that he plays with on the national team. You know, what do you think about that, Chris? Am I making too much about it, or is there a difference there?
No, there is a difference. I think over the last 3 years, Julian with TFC has had you know, the revolving door of players leaving his side and playing and having to adapt. And you know, going back to Nick Ledgerwood, Canadians are resilient, and Nick Ledgerwood, you know, showed his adaptability playing in that role for Atiba Hutchinson. But that's what Julian de Guzman has had to go through at TFC, and it does happen. But TFC, as we all know, the revolving door seems to be swinging open shut quite frequently, and And Julien de Guzman, that performance with Canada yesterday's match, was a solid performance. That's a strong performance, and that's what we expect of Julien de Guzman. But again, the national team, they have a rhythm. Yeah, he's used to it, used to the setup. The players he's played with for how long? Julien has over 50 caps with Canada, and he's just comfortable, and you can see it in his position. Clint Dempsey is, you know, if not the U.S. best player, you know, going forward. And Julien really stepped in and was able to handle Clint Dempsey quite well. And we all know Clint Dempsey had a great season with Fulham this past season in England. So Julien de Guzman performed well, and I think that he was, you know, one of the players. Maybe he was the man of the match for Canada, just because if he doesn't do that role well and gives Clint Dempsey and that midfield just in front of the back four, you know, gives some space, then the U.S. could hurt Canada. But I think he stuck to his task. And I don't know how much people have watched Julien in La Liga, but that's what he used to do for La Coruña, and it was great to see him get back to that. And for TFC and for Canada, bodes well, just because, you know, once he's feeling confident and comfortable, then, you know, Julien de Guzman will perform at his best. So hopefully for our sake, Steve, it's a great argument. I think it has a lot to do with the players in and around him. When Julien plays with top-class players, it shows. I know we expect Julien to be top-class himself, but you know, players sometimes they adapt differently to different environments. So hopefully for Julien, he shines through in the next couple of qualifying games.
An interesting performance by the back line. You know, I use the word solid a lot, but it really is applicable to that back line and a very experienced back line. You know, we didn't know what exact form that back line was going to take. We certainly knew that, you know, team captain Kevin McKenna was going to be out there. But we didn't know, you know, where David Edgar was going to play. He ended up playing at right back. And Andre Haino, we didn't know where he was going to play. He ended up playing at center back. And Steven went again with experience in Ante Jasic at left back. What did you make of that back line? You know, I think Steven made some good choices there.
Yeah, without being too critical, because I think, again, playing at BMO Field was a tight field. And it looked like there were no gaps for the U.S. to break through. And I think that's what Canada created, and that's what BMO Field gives you. It's not a big pitch. However, you know, without, again, being too critical, I thought the U.S. would attack the fullbacks in Ante Jasic and David Edgar a little bit more than they did. I thought they would try to exploit. I'm not saying that Ante Jasic is, you know, too old for playing in that environment, but he is definitely getting up there, and he showed, you know what, he showed everyone that he can play at the level still. I mean, he handled Len and Donovan quite well. And on David Edgar, you know, speaking of him, I thought he was out of position playing as a right fullback, but he showed that he can handle that position, you know, on the ball as well. So really impressed by those two fullbacks, you know. And I would look to them or look to that back four being Canada's defenders, you know, going forward into the qualification round. So really, really impressed with them and how they handled even being out of position. David Edgar, again, adaptability, Canadians are showing that. So hopefully David Edgar and Ante and Andrew Aino and Kevin McKenna, they can create that communication that's needed, that's vital, especially when you're playing these qualification rounds where, you know, you have games in between a few days. So it's going to be vital for Canada and Stephen Hart.
Okay, one other you know, high performer in that game is our interview guest this week, and you know, it's right winger Tosin Ricketts, who you know, he's been pretty much a fixture on the team for about a year and a half now, and you know, seems to be one of the young and up and coming players in Canada. He's got a lot of pace and you know, an excellent attitude, and he seems to have just you know, integrated himself into that Canadian squad, and you know, I think he has a good chance to start a number of Canada's qualifying matches on that right side. So here's our my interview with Tosin Ricketts, recorded earlier today. Tosin, congratulations on the draw against the United States on Sunday. When looking at that game as a whole, I thought it was a very complete performance from the team, and one that hopefully bodes well for Canada in the next two World Cup qualifying matches against Cuba and Honduras. How was the mood and confidence of the team, you know, following that match and heading into Friday's fixture against Cuba?
First of all, thank you for the congratulations. It was a good performance by the team, and I was very happy with that. Going forward is very good. You know, the guys see, like, what comes from good shape and good discipline, and just keeping to our system, you know. And it's nice when you see results from all the hard work we've been going through, and all the stuff we've been learning from Steven. So it was a good day for the boys.
You lined up ahead of right back David Edgar on the right side of the pitch on Sunday. You and David both earned your first national team call-ups at the same time, and you've kind of both been integrating yourselves into the Canadian setup for the past year and a half as sort of a couple of the new guys in the team, at least when compared to Dwayne and Julian and all those 50-plus cap guys. How is the chemistry between you and David as right-sided players, and is there any particular bond or synergy given the two of you earned those first call-ups together?
Me and Dave have been friends for a while now. You know, we played in U20s together, and we've basically been like on the same camps and stuff, most of the same camps together growing up. So, and also good friends. So we have that connection, and we're always talking and working out like, you know, a good relationship. And I think just from that, you know, we're always trying to help each other out and work for each other. And we've got a good chemistry going on the right side there.
Formation-wise, Canada often employs something resembling a 4-3-3 on the attack and a 4-5-1 when defending, which suggests that the two wide forwards have to really get up and down the field in order to impact the match at both ends. I think people generally think of you as more of an offensive player, but I was impressed with your defensive play and the way you came back and closed down the U.S. on Sunday. How do you approach your national team matches from a defensive standpoint?
Oh, yeah, well, defending is a new thing to me. In the club level, I don't usually have to defend so much, just like basic forward defending, you know. But I really, my main focus in this game was to just keep a good shape and, you know, help the guys out in the defensive side, because if I don't do my job defensively, it creates big holes in the back and, you know, ultimately affects the team in a negative way. So that was my main focus coming into this game, just keeping my shape and keeping to the system and working both ways, you know. It's not something I'm used to, but it's something I can get used to, you understand?
Yep. And you've earned 11 caps for Canada and have spent time over the last year and a half playing and training with a number of the most experienced Canadian players around in players like Dwayne and Atiba, Kevin McKenna and Julian. What has your time with the Canadian national team meant in terms of your ongoing development as a player?
Oh, I mean, first of all, for just confidence, you know, playing alongside such great names like the ones you mentioned is big for the confidence level. You know, it just makes you feel like you can, you know, contend at any level, and that has helped me a lot going forward, as well as just some little things. You know, they're always there to give advice on, you know, tactics and what you need to work on. You know, they want the best for you, and just having those people around you in this type of environment is so beneficial for a player like me.
I sometimes get caught up in highlighting individual performances when I watch Canada play, and can sometimes, you know, overemphasize being excited by players who make an excellent 1v1 player play or who might deliver something special in a dead ball situation. And there were a number of individual players who looked very strong and great against the United States. But overall, I was most impressed with how Canada functioned as a unit on Sunday. Is that cohesiveness and strong play the result of the work the team put in last week in Florida, as well as, you know, just the consistency of the matches played in the last round against St. Kitts, St. Lucia, and Puerto Rico?
Well, as you see, I feel like this is the most the team has been together in the last period of time. You know, we've got together last camps and during the last qualifier and stuff. I feel like just we've got that chemistry going with the team, and it didn't take much for us to get back into the groove of things. And we were training hard in Florida in the heat, and coming here, we had our game plan, our objective, and our system, and we just stuck to it. And you saw how it was. It was a unified team playing as a whole, and you know, it looked very good. It looked very positive going forward.
You recently left your club in Romania, Pauli Timișoara, due to unpaid wages brought upon by financial problems with the team. And it seems that in recent years, these types of situations have become more and more prevalent than in years past. Given that these issues would be stressful for anyone, is it a nice change of environments to be, back with the Canadian national team and, you know, back in that environment with, all those guys that we've mentioned so far?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't enjoy nothing more than to come back and be with the guys and be with the national team. It's my passion right now. I love playing for the national team. It's just something, you know, it's hard to explain, like, the feeling you have when you just put on that jersey and step on the field. You just want to give it all, you know? And it was a nice change coming from Romania. The situation wasn't so good there financially, and it was becoming tough towards the end, and I had to make some decisions and just basically look to my own personal future and head out. I felt bad in a way to leave the team, but in the end of the day, I got to look out for my own career, and it was turning very negative there, so I think I made the right choice.
You know, speaking of putting on the Canadian kit, I have to say I thought, you know, the team looked great in the centenary kits. You know, a lot of blue there, but still a maple leaf on the chest there. How did you like those kits?
Personally, I liked them. I liked them a lot. You know, it was kind of like an old school look, but you know, the flag on it was, I thought, very nice. And yeah, getting mixed views about it, but I personally liked it.
I recently had the chance to chat with Canadian keeper Milan Borjan about his move to Romania this past year, and it's one that has worked out really well for him so far. He described Romanian soccer as being very tactical when compared to you know, what he experienced in Turkey, where he played previously. When looking at your career as a whole, how are some of the ways that you benefited as a player from your time playing, you know, on the pitch in Romania?
Well, besides all the, you know, off-field stuff going on in Romania, it's a very good league. There's a lot of very talented teams and very talented players there, and it's benefited me a lot. I had a lot of big-name players playing around me. For example, like, even our keeper just got transferred to Man City and won the championship, you know, before all this stuff went down. But it's benefited me a lot. You know, they have good system, good tactics, and a lot of technical players there, and the trainings are very technical, so it worked on some things that I was looking to go forward in my career on.
Obviously, career planning is vital for all players and really all walks of life, and making the right decision on which club to sign with next is very important in terms of both your continuing development and your quality of life. What are the most important things you're looking for in your next club? You know, is it the head coach, the amount of expected playing time, or maybe a particular league or country that you want to play in?
Well, I mean, for the amount of playing time, that's based on how the player performs. So I feel like in any club, I'm willing to work to get the playing time. But as far as going forward, I think I just want something more secure, a good environment where I can really showcase my talents and move forward and move on to, like, bigger and better things from that place. And, yeah, so that's pretty much what I'm looking for, just somewhere to showcase my talent and maybe get sold somewhere else, you know.
Sunday's match, Stephen Hart described it as you know, really a focus on preparation, and you know, the team was, you know, 100% on using that match to get ready for the qualifiers. At the same time, that game against the States was also Canada's centennial match, and there was a historical component to the day. And we all got to see some all-time greats like Paul Stalteri, Colin Miller, Bob Arushi, Jason DeVos, Nick Dasovich, and Alex Bunbury lining up on the pitch before the game.
Yeah.
As a 24-year-old Canadian, do these types of games and presentations of Canadian soccer history, do they register with you on a match day, and do they motivate you to work that much harder so you can make some history of your own along with your teammates?
Well, all those names you mentioned, they're great players, and they really pave the path for us players now, you know. And, for example, Stalteri playing in Germany at the highest level, you know, those are guys you look up to, and there's nothing more than you want to do is just to make them proud that they played for Canada, you know. And on that match day, you just want to give it everything and, you know, show those guys that they didn't pave the path for nothing, you know.
Okay, one final question for you. Obviously, World Cup qualifying is top of mind for you and top of mind for all Canadian soccer fans right now. That said, another pretty big tournament, Euro 2012, will be kicking off very soon. I'd like to end off by getting your pick for the winner of Euro 2012 and your reasons why. And, you know, given that I know you're a pretty big Barcelona fan, can we assume that you're rooting for Spain?
Yeah, that's a good assumption. I'm thinking Spain's going to take it again. I know they have a couple injuries, and David Villa, I'm not sure if he's in or out for Euros, but Torres is on form right now. He scored his last game, and I think Spain's going to take it, or at least I'm hoping.
All right, that was Tosin Ricketts of the Canadian men's national team. Chris, so, you know, we've talked about Canada's performance against the United States. Looking forward now to the Cuba match, you know, that one is the kickoff of this round. I'm wondering, obviously, you know, Atiba brings something special to the team, and, you know, everybody's hopeful that he'll be able to go in that game. But, you know, outside of his fitness situation, would you make any changes to the lineup against Cuba, you know, from the team that played against the United States? Or, you know, were you sold and would you go with the same guys?
Yeah, just based on the performance of, you know, the U.S. match, I would keep the same lineup. I'm not too sure injury situation. If Atiba Hutchinson is available to play, then maybe I would slot him in. But I say slot him in. Atiba is a fantastic player, so and he should be playing. But no, based on that performance, I would keep the same lineup just because they seem to have a good rhythm, and that win gives so much confidence, a boost of confidence. The Canadians are going to have a pep in their step, you know, getting ready for this qualification match. And, yeah, I think it will bode well for them going into Cuba. And just being in sync, again, I've used that word a lot, but I just think there's a rhythm that these players need to get accustomed to, and keeping the same lineup will do so, especially going forward after the Cuba match and into Honduras. So looking forward to seeing them play.
And, you know, looking at the approach to that Canada should take to that game, it looks like that U.S. game, even though, you know, the summer seems to have disappeared here in Toronto, and it was, you know, rainy and freezing cold leading up to that match, and also quite a cool evening on Sunday, although you know, we luckily got some nice weather for the centennial game. It seemed like that match was very much in the style of play and the tactics, a preparation for the heat in Havana. We know they're going to be playing at 2 p.m., you know, so usually between 2 and 4 p.m. are the hottest time of the day in Cuba. And, you know, does Canada take that same sort of patient and deliberate approach? You know, they weren't pressing so much to start off that game. It was very much, it looked like they were looking for their spots and you know, conserving their energy at certain points in that match.
Yeah, actually, as you're speaking there, I'm, you know, thinking of the word there, they almost invited the U.S., into their end, into the defending third. And I mean, even Jurgen Klinsmann's comments, you know, just mentioning that the U.S. players, you know, were lacking a little bit of energy and they were tired. I think it was an excuse. You know, we're not talking about the U.S. team here, but I just think that Canada's approach and tactics, I was almost looking for Canada to break out on the attack a little bit more and to really pressure the U.S. defenders. But I think the approach worked in the U.S. match. And going into Cuba, I would say so. I would say that Steven Hart is going to employ that tactic and sit back a little bit and you know, wait for the Cubans to see what they do. And once Canada does break through, I think they have enough in Ricketts, De Rosario, to really hurt the Cubans. And I think during the match we'll actually see Canada have a little bit of possession. If they get an early goal or they get up early with a 2-0 lead, I think you'll see the Canadians in the attacking third versus, you know, sitting back and waiting for the Cubans to attack them and then break on the counterattack. So, Steven Hart will employ that same tactic, I believe. But you know what? The Canadians may surprise us and go for it right off the bat. So we're really looking forward, Steve. I'm really excited looking at these qualification matches and hoping and willing Canada to do well.
We didn't see much of it against the United States, but obviously, you know, set pieces are considered to be a strength for Canada, you know, especially with... you know, those big defenders that they can send up into the box on free kicks and corner kicks. And we don't know that much about this Cuban team. They're kind of a mystery team in CONCACAF. But if the U-23 Olympic qualifying game was any indication as to, you know, coaching style and tactical style, you know, their defense didn't look that organized. You know, how big are set pieces going to be? And, you know, do you think we'll see any goals from, you know, Haino or McKenna or any of those big guys, you know, looking to use their size and their strength to sort of clear out some space and head one into the back of the net?
Well, statistics tell us in soccer, you know, set pieces are a huge part of the game, and they can cost you, you know, wins and losses. So definitely set pieces are major for Canada. Going into Cuba, they have to get those set pieces right on the defensive side of things, first of all. So that back four we spoke about, in terms of experience and communication, they have to get that right. The players must be vigilant and just make sure that they get their marks correct, because if they don't and they go into Cuba and they go down, you know, 1-0, then, you know, their backs are against the wall and then they have a game on their hands. So, you know, going forward, looking at their attacking set pieces, I think the quality of service from De Rosario, whether De Guzman or another player, you know, is in charge of taking the set piece, the kick, so that's definitely a big part of it, you know, that quality of service into the box, especially, as you said, you mentioned, with the bigger defenders, with McKenna, you know, who really attack the ball and know how to score off set pieces. So, actually, I would look to Canada scoring off a set piece early on and getting a 1-0 lead. So I think that's a way to sort of, you know, set their mark and get on with the game and give themselves a boost before they get into the trenches and you know, the game starts, you know, wearing on these players. So hopefully they can get an early goal through a set piece.
One of the classy gestures by the Canadian team on Sunday was when, you know, the standard starting 11 photo was taken and, you know, the players held up a Josh Simpson jersey, you know, just letting him know and everyone else know just how much they're missing him and, you know, how much he's still part of the team and how, you know, they really want to go forward and get wins for the country, but for him as well. And so, interestingly enough, you know, Josh is out, and Dwayne was in his spot. And I'm wondering, you know, they're very different players, Josh Simpson and Dwayne D'Azario, both excellent in their own rights. How much does that switch, you know, change the Canadian attack, Chris?
Yeah, I think it does. I think it changes them, changes the attack quite a bit, just because maybe D'Azario is used to playing in the middle, even with DC United being an attacking midfielder, even with Canada. So it does change their attack, but it also gives them a different option in the way that they approach games. Again, hopefully Atiba Hutchinson's healthy going forward, and hopefully Nick Ledgerwood and Will Johnson, Julian De Guzman can give the Canadians, you know, that creative side that we look to. Josh Simpson adds pace, and they have to replace that, and especially in the CONCACAF region. I think if you have players who have pace, like Ricketts, I really look for Ricketts to be one of Canada's standout players because he has the pace to attack the defenders at will. If the Canadians can get him the ball early and he can have some confidence early on in matches, then I look to him to really have a major impact. But, yeah, going back to Josh Simpson, really, really sad story to see him not a part of this qualification team. We mentioned on, I think, the last podcast that he'll be sadly missed. So it does change the attack, but hopefully for Canada, they have enough depth to, you know, to fill those gaps and to for those players to fill that role. So De Rosario, I think he can play anywhere on the field, Steve. So right now he seems to have a great rhythm and confidence in his game. So I look to him, you know, to have a great first qualifying match in the second round.
Yeah, I think Dwayne can play all over the field, and I think in a lot of games he actually does. So, you know, hopefully he'll will add to his tally as Canada's all-time leading scorer. You know, it's been pointed out several times, and the players have probably been asked about it ad nauseum now, about the fact that, you know, this stage in World Cup qualifying has been where the Canadian team has tripped up over the last number of cycles and sort of not being able to get off to a good start with, you know, 4 years ago being one instance where, you know, after a couple of games, they were almost pretty much out of the out of World Cup qualifying. I'm wondering if you look at the team that's out there right now. You know, it's sprinkled with some younger players, but even a guy like Simeon Jackson is pretty CONCACAF battle hardened now. Tosin Ricketts is up to 11 caps. Then you've got, you know, Lars Hirschfeld, who's been a fixture for years. Kevin McKenna, Ante Jazic, Dwayne D'Azario, Julian De Guzman. You know, all these guys that just have years and years of experience. You know, and this is really a very experienced Canadian squad. Do you think that, you know, looking at where Canada is right now, do you think maybe that experience is going to be enough to get them over the hump this time and see the Canadian team succeed where others have stumbled at this point in the qualifying process?
yeah, experience is an interesting word. What I'd like to say is that the Canadians and this crop of players, they're not going to make any excuses. They have the experience. They have played in the CONCACAF region for how many cycles now, some of these players. So, and when I think of Kevin McKenna, he's been a part of the national team setup for quite a while. So, Julian Guzman, Dwayne De Rosario. So, these players aren't going to make excuses, and I will be their harshest critic just because they have the talent, they have the experience, and hopefully they can gain that rhythm, that connectivity, that communication, and really go for it. I really hope this generation of players, this current World Cup team does it for Canada. Really, really do. So experience isn't going to be enough. At the end of the day, they have to prove, to themselves, to the Canadians, to the Canadian fans, that they can actually get the result, and the end result, playing in the final round of qualification and getting through that. Even if they get past through the second round, they have to go into another round, and that's where, it's all the marbles are on the line. So hopefully they can actually get there, and again, they're not going to make any excuses. These players play in the best leagues, the top leagues around Europe, and they know what pressure is. So I think that, they'll be their harshest critics, or their own harsh critics going forward, and if they don't succeed. So Stephen Hart may have some pressure on his back, but no, I think he can lead this team, and I hope he does for Canada's sake, because we need a boost in our country in terms of our development, and just some hope and confidence in terms of soccer and sport in general.
Okay, well, it all starts on Friday in Havana against Cuba. I know there will be a Canadian contingent going down to support the team in person, and the game will be on Sportsnet, so hopefully a lot of people will tune into that as well. And Chris, you and I will be back next week. Hopefully we'll be breaking down a victory and setting up a really strong start for Canada with the following match coming against Honduras the following Tuesday. So
looking forward to it. Really looking forward to the first match against Cuba and onwards. So upwards and onwards for the Canadians.
All right. Well, that's it for this week. And I think I'll just sign off by saying, go Canada. Yeah.